Well, there's been many decades, probably centuries of silence from God during Genesis chapters 10 and 11. We reached the heights of Noah, saw how God, through Noah, rescued a people for himself. And despite the judgment that justly came on the world because of their sin and wickedness, yet humankind was saved through Noah and his descendants. But as we went through those family trees last time round in chapters 10 and 11, one thing that was very apparent was this, that the family trees were very large indeed. There were many, many generations that were mentioned there. But seemingly, nothing to report, nothing to say. People were being born, they were marrying and giving in marriage, they were living their lives, they were dying, but it seemed that God was almost absent from the accounts that we had. But then suddenly, at the end of chapter 11, silence is broken. And it's broken through this man, Abram. And I'm sure you well know that Abram is one of the most famous people in all of the scriptures. And you can think of some great biblical heroes, men like David, the king. We think of Moses, the lawgiver. We think of Elijah or Elisha or others of the great prophets. But even those men would look back to Abram. And they'd see Abraham as their father, the father of the faith. So a great character here that breaks into us in Genesis chapter 11. Now we know from Genesis chapter 11 and verse 28 and from other places in the scripture that Abram came from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. We're not absolutely 100% sure where Ur was. There are lots of places in the Bible. It's so long ago, many thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born, and the geography and the landscape has changed so much. We can't be 100% sure exactly where Ur of the Chaldeans was, but we think we know. And we think it's fairly close to Kuwait. If you remember during the Gulf War that Kuwait at the northwest corner of the Gulf, well, Ur of the Chaldeans would be about 100 miles inland from there, near Basra, again, which you may remember from the Gulf War. And if we're right in thinking that that's where Ur of the Chaldeans is, then that's 600 miles southeast of Haran, which is the other place that's mentioned for us here in this text. And we're told that Abram and his family left Ur of the Chaldeans and went to Haran. So if you've got a map and Kuwait is here, and then they're traveling to Ur of the Chaldeans, up here somewhere south of Turkey, that sort of area is Haran. And then eventually they're going to travel into Canaan, the nation of Israel, and they've got to travel another 500 miles southwest to get to Israel. So it's an enormous journey that they travel on. You might wonder, well, why didn't they just go straight across there? That would have been a lot quicker. Well, those of you who know your geography will know that straight across is pretty much just desert, whereas you have what's called the Fertile Crescent that goes along some large rivers where at least you can get food and water, and many routes would take this circuitous route rather than trekking straight across the desert. So here is Abraham. And he's in this town, Ur of the Chaldeans, and we see his family tree, we know his descendants, but he comes a little bit out of the blue. He's a great-great-great-great and however many greats descendants of Noah, but there are hundreds, probably thousands of other descendants of Noah who are around at the time. Why Abram? Why him? But why is he the one whom God is going to raise up? The simple answer to that question is, we have absolutely no idea at all. We do not know why Abram. We simply do not know. Well, what we do know about Abram is that he was called of God. And therefore, this evening, what I want to do simply is this, is to look at Abram's call and to look at the way in which God called him. And obviously then to take the things that we learn and apply them to ourselves. And I'm afraid to confess that I've got 9 points for you this evening that I want to say. So I'm conscious, therefore, that I'll have very little time to tell you about each one. So we'll be going at quite a pace, and you'll hopefully see these different points that we can say about Abram's calling being ticked off fairly quickly as we go through. The first thing that I want to say to you about Abram is this, that he was called out of his sin. He was called out of his sin. What I mean is this, that Abram was in this city of Ur of the Chaldeans. We know his family, we know their names, we know a lot about that area and that place. And we know that Ur of the Chaldeans was famous for being a center of moon worshipping. And if we look at the names of Abram's family and you compare that with the language of the day that Abram would have spoken, many of the names are actually to do with something to do with the moon. And it seems likely that his family was very much involved in moon worshipping. And in Ur of the Chaldees, there was an enormous ziggurat, you know, those kind of stepped pyramids that go up. And on the top of this great ziggurat was a silver room. And that was the temple to the moon god Nana. That was Abram's background. He was a pagan. And we read, didn't we, last week of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 2. No need to turn to it. I'll read it to you. Where Joshua reminds the people where they've come from. And he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abram and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. So Abram's family, and almost certainly Abram himself, served these other gods. They were pagan moon worshippers. And it was to this man that God came and called. When earlier we looked at Noah, we saw that God called somebody, and it seems that Noah was a righteous man, and God called him. But Abram, he wasn't a righteous man. He was a pagan moon worshipper, and yet God called him. And it's vital that we remember that God calls people out of their sin. God doesn't simply call the righteous, but he calls sinners to repentance. And that's what he did with Abram. Abandon your moon god, Abram. Abandon your old way of life. I want you to faithfully follow me. That was the call that Abram felt. And notice that Abraham had little to offer God. God's purpose in calling Abram, we know that from chapter 12 and verse 2 that he was going to be made into a great nation. And that was God's purpose. So what could Abram offer? Did he already have a vast family that God could use in the building up of the nation? Not at all. Chapter 11 verse 30, he had a wife called Sarai, and Sarai was barren. She had no child. And we're to be told here and to be reminded here that Abram had nothing to offer. That's the sort of people that God calls, sinners with nothing to offer. Well, what else can we say about Abram? Well, this, he was called to trust God. He was called to trust God. Did you notice that when Abram was called in chapter 12 and verse 1, God says to him, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. That's what he was supposed to do. Know where he was going, how he was supposed to know when he'd arrived, we're not told. God didn't say to him, look, Abram, this is what I want you to do. Here's my 10-point plan. Point one, go here. Point two, go there. Point 10, this is where you're going to end up. That's not at all what God said. He said simply, I want you to follow me. I want you to come with me, and I will show you in the future where you will end up. But for now, just trust me. That was the message to Abram. He was called to trust God. And so it is again, even today, that we are called, and men and women and boys and girls are called by God to trust him. And the gospel calls us to rest all our hope on the word of Christ and nothing else. When God calls us, he doesn't guarantee the future to us or even tell us what the future in this life is going to be like. He promises that he'll take us to be with him, certainly. That's the ultimate goal. That's our Canaan, you might say. He promises forgiveness. He promises inner peace. He promises that he'll be with us through thick and thin. He promises our ultimate good. But he doesn't say it's going to be an easy life here on earth. He doesn't say that all our problems are going to be solved. He doesn't promise a life of peace and ease. And the problem is that many of us are looking for those promises up front. And the tragedy is that some gospel preachers and some people in gospel conversations want to promise those things to people. If you come to God, he'll make you wealthy and happy. If you come to God, he'll solve your problems. He'll deal with all those things. Well, God will certainly help us and God will be with us. But God doesn't tell us the future here on earth. And if you insist that you won't follow Christ, that you won't follow God until you know exactly what's in store, and you make sure that here in this life you'll have plenty of things ahead of you to enjoy, if you want those upfront promises before you turn to Christ, then you'll never get them, and Abram would have had them neither. God calls us to trust him alone. The third thing we can say about Abram, he's been called out of his sin, he's been called to trust God. The third thing we can say, he's been called with a great promise. He's been called with a great promise. We read it there in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Here's the promise. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, do you notice how many times there God says in that promise, I will. Do you notice 5 times in those verses, I will, I will, I will, I will. You see, that's the God who calls today. This is a God who is active. This is a God who commands. This is a God who is powerful. This is a God who carries out his promises. And the promises that God made to Abram, he fulfilled. The promises that God makes today, he also fulfills. And today God says, if you trust me, if you commit yourself to me, if you depend on me in all things, I will forgive your sin. I am faithful and just. He says that he will take us to heaven to be with him forever. He will do those things, God says. And just as he fulfilled his promises to Abram, so he fulfills his promises today. But notice also what God says to Abram. He has this promise that he will make Abram's name great. He will make Abram's name great. And in reading this, we're supposed to remember the chapter before. Do you remember chapter 11, the Tower of Babel? Do you remember why the men and women were building the tower in Genesis chapter 11? They were building it so that their name might be great. They wanted to make a name for themselves, chapter 11, verse 4. But of course, the very opposite happened to these anonymous men and women from Genesis chapter 11. We don't know who they are. Their names have been lost in the deserts. But here's Abram, and God makes his name great. And has God not carried out that promise? Is Abram not somebody whose name has indeed been made great? Is this not evidence as we're looking at this man? If we're looking back to see in which the way God blessed him, is this not evidence that God keeps his promises? And the thing that these people in Babel tried to do to make their own name great, that failed. But here, God made Abram's name great. And Abram, by trusting God, was going to get something that never comes by a self-serving effort. The lesson from the Tower of Babel, if we try and help ourselves, if we try and make our own way great, if we try and do things these things ourselves, we will fail. But when God does it, he succeeds. These great promises from a trustworthy God that were kept. So Abram was called out of his sin. He was called to trust God. He was called with a great promise. Fourthly, Abram was called in his old age. He was called in his old age. Chapter 12, verse 4 tells us that Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. We know that in Abram's day, people lived a little bit longer than they do now, but 75 is still a good age in those days as it is today. And Abram was called in his old age. And it's just a very simple and clear reminder for us that sometimes we can make the mistake of thinking that God only calls young men and young women to himself. And God certainly does not do that at all. If we were to fast forward in the Bible, we'd come to Moses, another man who was called in his old age. If we went to different parts of the Bible, we could find men and women who were called at a very young age. We can think of somebody like Samuel, for example, who was called at a very young age. The point is this, not that God only calls old men to himself, but that God does call old men and old women to himself. And there may be people here, there may be friends and neighbours and members of families whom you know and whom you pray for, who are old and they've rejected God for a long time. They've been like Abram, worshipping other gods. And maybe there's a danger in which we think, if that describes us, that there's no hope for me. I'm an old man now. God has, I've lost my opportunities, I've lost my chances. Well, God calls people in old age. Maybe you've been praying for a parent or for somebody in your family who is old, and you're thinking, well, I've been praying all these years, maybe it's too late. God calls people even in their old age. God, Abram was called out of sin, he was called to trust God, he was called with a great promise, he was called in his old age. Fifthly, Abram was called by the word of God. He was called by the word of God. Can you see chapter 12 and verse 1? Now the Lord said to Abram. The Lord said to Abram. You see, as Abram was called, it wasn't merely that he happened to have this feeling inside of himself. It wasn't merely that he was looking around and having a chat with somebody and a little idea popped into his head. That's not how he was called. He was called because God spoke. He was called because God spoke. And God calls in the same way, even today, and has throughout all of history. God calls by his word. Of course, we're more privileged than Abram was because we have the full revelation of God's word here before us in the scriptures. Abram didn't have that written word of God. We have it here. And if we're to be called, it will be very often as the pages of Scripture are preached to us. We hear God's word, as it were. Maybe we're reading the Bible on our own. Maybe the things that we've learned in Sunday school come back to us and we remember the word of God. And it's through that that we are called. You see, God calls by his word. And as well as this special revelation that we have here in the Bible, that's for all people, the very word of God, there is also what we call an inward call, where the Holy Spirit comes and takes the word of God and applies it to our hearts and our minds. And we realize with deep conviction that this is the word of God, and the things that God says here are true. And when the Bible speaks of Christ, and when the Bible speaks of sin and forgiveness and heaven, then God is telling the truth. The Holy Spirit takes that, applies it to our heart. We have this inward, irresistible call as we are forced, as it were, to acknowledge that God is who he says he is. And God is to be followed. It's what happened to Abraham as God spoke to him. He was called by the word of God. And that means, of course, for us that the word of God is all important, that our mission to Clydach and to the world is to preach the word of God. In our conversations, in the things that we do, it's the word of God that we want to share with one another. If you're not a Christian here this evening, it means the word of God is all important. I've met people over the years who say, I'd love to become a Christian. I'd love to have the faith that you have. I do believe in God. And maybe they would say, well, I am a Christian, but I'm not a Christian like you. And perhaps they mean by that that really they don't have saving faith and they want to be a Christian. But these people who say that, they won't read the word of God. They won't see what God himself has to say to him. They won't open their Bibles at the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of Luke and read about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and the things that he's done and pray to God and say, reveal yourself through your word. And if you're not a Christian here this evening and you want to be a Christian, you want to know this call for yourself, then know that we are called by the word of God. We need to read it and pray that God would speak to us. We're called out of sin, called to trust God, called with a great promise, called perhaps in old age, called by the word of God. Sixthly, we're called to be a pilgrim. We're called to be a pilgrim. The story of Abram is picked up by the writer to the Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, we have a little potted history of Abraham's journey. Let me read to you a few verses from that chapter. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. We've covered that already, but look at verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So the heading for us here is that Abram was called to be a pilgrim. What do I mean by that? Well, he didn't have a city that he built where he could live and have a permanent dwelling. But he lived in tents, we're told in Hebrews chapter 9. And as we read the story in Genesis 12, we can see this movement as Abram was kept on the move. He was a pilgrim. He wasn't tied down to one location. He wasn't tied down to one group of people. But he was a man on the move. And you see Abram's clear vision of what God was calling him to, I haven't received everything yet. There is still more to come. So Abram kept on going and kept on traveling, waiting for God to fulfill his promises to him. It meant that Abram was detached from the world around him. And so it will be for us today as we are called to be a pilgrim. Not in the sense that Abram was, in the literal sense that we would have a tent on our backs and we'd leave our home, but in a spiritual sense. Christians today are pilgrims. We're going through, as it were, this barren land, and we're looking forward and waiting for the glorious promises to come. We're pilgrims. We don't really belong. This place is not really our home. And that was true for Abram. If you go back to Genesis chapter 12, you'll see that as he arrived in Canaan in chapter 5 and 6, you read there at the end of verse 6 that Canaanites were in the land. Canaanites were in the land. That reminds us, doesn't it, that Abraham couldn't rest here in this land that God has promised. God's enemies were there too, these Canaanites. And it tells us in verse 6 that Abram actually went to as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And if we read the history books of Canaan, and we find out that the terebinth tree of Moreh was a very famous tree in Canaanite history, because it was the tree where soothsayers and prophets would congregate, and they'd listen, as it were, to the rustling of the leaves in the terebinth tree, and they would use that, so they said, to be able to determine what the gods were saying. So here was a center of pagan worship, even in the land. And Abraham, now this faithful follower of God, finds himself in this situation. But it's there, verse 7, that God appears to Abram. And if God had, if Abraham had any doubts, sometimes as we're going through this world, if we're pilgrims, if we're Christians, sometimes there can be struggles, sometimes there can be opposition, sometimes it can seem that we're alone. Maybe as it did to Abram, and yet it's in those places where the Lord appears and the Lord gives us the reminders of his promises. And the Lord is gracious and faithful in that way, just as he was with Abram. So Abram was called out of his sin. He was called to trust God. He was called with a great promise. He was called in his old age. He was called by the word of God. He was called to be a pilgrim. Seventhly, he was called to worship God. He was called worship God. Victor Hamilton, who's written a commentary on Genesis, says this: Abraham the pilgrim became Abraham the builder. But notice what Abraham built. He didn't build a tower. He didn't build a city. He built an altar. It's there at the end of verse 7. He built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Just like Noah, do you remember as Noah came down from the ark, the first thing that he did? He built an altar as a remembrance that God had rescued him and God had saved him. And as Abraham meets with God here in the land that God has promised to him in verse 7, the first thing he does is to build an altar and no doubt to offer a sacrifice also. And in fact, as we go through the book of Genesis, we'll find that Abraham built many altars. It's the only thing we hear of Abraham building. He was an altar builder. The only architecture that remained from Abram's life were altars. What a contrast to those men of Babel we read in chapter 11. Those people who were to build to their own glory. Do you remember the tower which they built? They built in order to lift themselves up to the gods in the heavens so that they could be with the gods in the heavens and be equal to them. That was their intention. It was thwarted, of course. What did Abram do? Well, he had no desire to make his name great. He was simply wanted to worship God. And in building the altar, as it were, he was recognizing not that he was going to get up to God, but he knew that God was willing to come to him. And he built this simple altar here on earth, knowing that the God in heaven would receive his sacrifice as he worshipped him. And so it is for faithful followers of God and of Jesus Christ, people who follow the call today. It's not that we build up in order that we can get up to God, for we know that such a thing is hopeless and impossible. But in our little simple lives here, we worship God. And we know that God in his grace and God in his goodness is a God who is not isolated in heaven away from us, but God who is present. A God who is with us, a God who receives our worship. And here's a test, really, isn't it? Are we somebody who is called? How do we know? Well, have we been called out of sin? Have we left a sinful life behind? Are we called? We're called to trust God. Are we really doing that day by day and hour by hour? Do we believe the promises of God? Do we understand that our journey is because of the Word of God? Is that our authority? Do we see ourselves as pilgrims that are not part of this world? Do we worship God, not just on a Sunday, but day by day and hour by hour? These things are a test for each of us, aren't they? Are we really called? Are we really saved? Two more things we can say about Abram. Eighthly, now, Abram was called to witness. He was called to witness. If we look at chapter 12 and verse 8, we read that Abram moved to the mountain east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. It's very likely as we go through the scriptures and we find when people called on the name of the Lord, invariably it was a public act. And it seems here, Abram, in the midst of these Canaanite worshippers of false gods, builds this altar to the true and living God, and publicly, so that all around would see him, he calls on the name of the Lord. He witnesses to the faith of his God. And again, so it is with faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We're called to witness. We're called to take a stand. We're called that our worship should not only be, as it were, private, but we call our worship services here in the church, don't we? It's public worship. Anybody can come in. But more than that, there is a public worship that we're to be involved in, not just in a Sunday, but day by day. So in the simple things, such as praying a thanksgiving at a meal when those who are not Christians are still around, maybe reading our Bibles on the bus or in the canteen at work, witnessing to people, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, praising God when something happens instead of taking the credit for ourselves. In all these ways, it's a public witness to the Lord, just as Abraham did for these people here. Ninthly then, he was called out of his sin, he was called to trust God, he was called with a great promise, called in his old age, called by the word of God, called to be a pilgrim, called to worship God, called to witness. Ninthly, finally, he was called to persevere. He was called to persevere. Can you see verse 9? So Abram journeyed, going on toward the south. He kept on going. Indeed, there's an awful lot more to say about Abram. We've got several chapters to go all about Abram, but verse 9 reminds us he kept on going. And everybody who is called keeps on going. Everybody who is called perseveres. Everybody keeps on going. You see, God is faithful, and God will keep us. And if Christ has died for us, then we cannot be lost. Abram was called to persevere. So as we come to the end of this brief study of Abram's calling, we can see that the way in which Abram was called, this father of Israel, this father of God's people, we can see his calling to a certain extent is a model for God's calling today. And we want to affirm and we want to remind ourselves that God still calls today. Yes, there was something special about the way that Abram calls, on the one hand. But on the other hand, there are very many similarities with the way that God calls. Well, I wonder, what of you? Has God called you? Have you heard that voice softly pleading with your heart? Do you know what it is to hear God irresistibly call you? Do you know what it is for God by His Spirit to come to you, to draw you to Himself, to call you out of your sin, to call you to trust Him, to give you great and wonderful promises, maybe in your young age, maybe in your old age, that He uses the Word of God to reveal Himself to you, to call you to be a pilgrim out of this land, give you a new people and a new goal, call you to worship Him, give Him the glory, call you to witness to others, and call you to persevere. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Abram, and we thank You that You called him. And Lord God, we would pray that there would be nobody here tonight who is not called by You. And Father, we pray for family and friends too. And Father, we pray that You might call them. And Lord, that You would draw them to Yourself. Help us, Lord, to be faithful followers of God. For we pray in Your name. Amen.